الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. is reported in the hadith that Umar radiallahu ta'ala reports that on one occasion a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he posed the following question. He said, O Nabi of Allah, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. In this entire deen of Islam, what is the action most beloved to Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him saying, As-salatu liwaqtiha, that performing the farz salah on its prescribed time is the thing that is most beloved in the sight of Allah. And then Nabi alayhi salam went on to mention, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ, and the one who omits his salah, the one who neglects his salah, فَلَا دِينَ لَهُ, then such a person has no deen. And then Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, وَالصَّلَاةُ عِمَادُ الدِّينِ, Salah is the center pillar of Islam. The most important pillar after Iman is Salah. From this hadith we understand the exalted position of Salah in Deen. That if a person does not have Salah in his life, and he does not establish that Salah correctly in the manner Rasulullah ﷺ had taught the Ummah, then such a person's Deen is deficient. In the words of the Nabi of Allah, فَلَا دِينَ لَهُ, such a person doesn't have deen. So like a person has got few cents compared to a person who owns millions. So the person who has millions, when he looks at the man who has few cents, he says, this man got no money. So this is the comparison between the person who has this salah in his life compared to a person who doesn't have it. Then on one occasion, a sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he requested some very comprehensive and complete advice through which he will be able to practice on Islam in entirety. If he holds on to this, Allah would make this the means of him bringing deen in totality in his life. The sahabi came and mentioned, O Nabi of Allah, Allimni wa awjiz. Give me some advice, teach me deen, but make it brief and concise. So the muhaddithin explain, the reason for the sahabi asking Rasulullah ﷺ to make it brief, short, concise, it'll be easy for him to remember it and easy for him to practice upon it. So the first thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the sahabi, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you stand up to perform your salah, perform the salah as though it's the last salah of your life. The first thing that Nabi of Allah told him, namaz. And that salah should have the qualities of the salah. It should have the nur and the barakat in it. It should have such qualities that are able to draw the mercy of Allah towards the person. So that will only happen when the person's heart is in that salah and he fulfills the salah in the manner Rasulullah wanted. And if a person knows this is the last salah of my life, I'm going to leave now. Imagine with what heart he'll perform that salah. فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. Perform that salah like a person bidding farewell to the world, the last salah, and he's about to take leave. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَلَا تُكَلِّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. When before you speak, then you should ponder and reflect over what you want to say. It shouldn't be such that you utter something that you'll have to give an excuse tomorrow.
You put yourself into problems in this world and the next. So you should be in full control of your language, of your speech, of your conversation. And the last thing the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, وَأَجْمِعِ الْإِيَاسِ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that turn your heart away from the wealth of people. Do not desire that which is in the hands of somebody else. In other words, Allah Pak will grant you barakah if you bring salah and you watch your relationship with people and your heart is all the time turned towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You're not aspiring, you're not desirous of what people have. This is where the problem comes about, is that where a person is desirous of what the next man has. So he's ungrateful for what Allah has granted him, and he's all the time feeling that Allah Pak has not given him enough, and this person here, he has been granted more than what he has been granted. Be happy with the decree of Allah, be happy with your lot, and have contentment. Do not desire what Allah has granted other people. So this is the second thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the importance of that salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is passing away, he was stabbed by Abu Lu'lu. And it was the Fajr Salah. Hazrat Umar passed out, he was unconscious. So the Sahaba around Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they carried Umar to his home, and Hazrat Umar is unconscious. So one Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala came, and he asked the Sahaba, did Hazrat Umar perform the Fajr Salah? He said, no, he hasn't, he's unconscious. He said, wake him up. The whole life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala was spent in establishing that salah in his life and in the life of the Muslims. How is it that you allow that salah to go by? He said, no, wake him up. He said, how to wake him up? He said, I'll show you. Sahabi goes to the ears of Umar radiallahu. As-salah, ya Umar. Oh Umar, salah. Immediately as Umar radiallahu ta'ala's eyes open, he said, yes, salah. And then as Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, that person who got no deen whatsoever, who doesn't have any salah in his life. If he doesn't have salah in his life, he doesn't have any deen. And then immediately he performs that salah. And then he asks, did the rest of the sahaba perform the salah? He says, yes, they also performed the salah. Hazrat Umar, then he became happy. Then he was contented. Even at the last moment when the blood is oozing from his body, he's about to pass away. But the importance that he showed towards this department of deen, this obligation of deen, that is salah. We all should ask ourselves, how much of that salah is in my life? With regard to other aspects of deen, other injunctions of Islam, Allah Ta'ala commands, fulfill it. But when it comes to salah, then the ulama explained that Allah Pak used a different approach altogether. When it comes to zakah, addi zakah, discharge of zakat, when it comes to roza, sumu, fast, but when it comes to salah, aqimus salah, Allah Pak says, establish that salah. So in the establishment of that salah, the ulama explained that there are many, many important aspects need to be fulfilled and carried out in order for that salah to be the salah that Rasulullah ﷺ was invited by Allah to go on the journey of Mi'raj above the seven heavens to receive this gift from Allah and bring it to the earth. That was that special salah that the Nabi of Allah was taken on this journey of Mi'raj for. Then only. If that salah is just a person goes through the motions, haphazardly perform that salah, that is not that salah that will bring him that nur and barakah, that mercy, the salah which was a gift of this ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was called up to the heavens, granted by Allah and brought it. That's not that salah. So among the important aspects that a person has to bring in his life in order for that salah to be a perfect and complete salah, the first thing is that the preparation of that salah must take place correctly. He has to prepare in advance. In regard to the preparation, the wuzu has to be done properly. The second thing is, the salah has to be performed in the masjid, not at home, in the workplace. The third thing is, the salah has to be performed according to the sunnah, the ruku, the sajda, the postures. The fourth aspect is that the sufuf should be straight, the children standing in their safs, the male adults in their safs. The fifth aspect is that a person's attire for that salah should be conforming to the sunnah, the way of Rasulullah also. The sixth aspect is a person should perform that salah with complete concentration, devotion, khushu and khuzu. And the seventh aspect is when a person comes to the masjid, that he should fulfill the adab and the etiquettes of the masjid. It should not cause any inconvenience to the musallis. He should not violate the sanctity of the masjid. He should not cause taklif and inconvenience to the angels. The car should be parked correctly. No foul odor is coming out from his body, from his mouth. He ensures while seated in the masjid also we uphold the sanctity of the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When these seven aspects are found, then we find that now this salah is that salah that will earn a person the jannat. All the virtues reported in the ahadith for the one who performs salah, Allah will grant him. Then inshallah, it will be that salah that Allah Pak mentions. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah. Inna as-salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That salah has the power of stopping a person from evil and shameless works. That salah will have that noor and barakah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, as-salatu noorun. Salah is a light. If you want to illuminate your heart and your life, you are doing barakah in your business and in your home, in your family, you want a whole new dimension of life, Allah Pak will open up to you, then bring that salah in your heart, in your life. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned with regard to salah, that the differentiating factor between a mu'min and a kafir is salah. Al-fariq bain al-imani wal-kufr, between iman and kufr is salah. In other words, when you don't have that salah in your life, or you're neglecting that salah, your lifestyle is resembling the kafir. That the kafir shows more importance to his business, and he doesn't close up his business to go to the church, the synagogue, or the temple, because everything in life that means everything to him is money. So when that salah is not in your heart, is not in your life, you don't invest in that salah like how you're supposed to invest. Is that now you are resembling the kafir. Allah save us. Allah save us. Now let's look at it from the dimension, from the perspective of how the Nabi of Allah viewed this pillar of deen. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam react to salah? You know, when you ask a wealthy person, and you know, someone knows that this man is waxed, you know, this man is loaded. Hey, this man has got so much of wealth. He's like, this way, anyway. You look at your car, and you look at his, look at your home, his, everything, you know, hey, this man is everything. He's my hero in life. Why? Because he got so much of money. Now, when you ask the Nabi of Allah what wealth is, what an investment is all about, let's hear it from Rasulullah Sallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on one occasion, mentioned, أَغْبَطُ أَوْلِيَاءِ indi. The person who is most worthy of being envied from among my close friends. So the Nabi of Allah is not speaking about any level of pious people. These are among the close friends of Rasulullah ﷺ. The greatest of awliya of the Sahaba is speaking about. He says, among their lives, the person who is worthy of emulating, of envying his life, who is that person? لَمُؤْمِنْ خَفِيفُ الْحَاتِ ذُو حَزِّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Is that believer who has complete, perfect iman, and he's not worried too much about the worldly things. He's got the basics that will take him through life. ذُو حَزِّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. But when it comes to salah, this is his main investment in life. خَفِيفُ الْحَاتِ. Doesn't have a lot of wealth. ذُو حَزِّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. But his wealth and his money is in the salah. His investment. أحسن عبادة ربه وطاعه في السر. He fulfills the ibadat of Allah in the way pleasing to Allah, what Allah likes. And even in the seclusion of his home also, he's obedient to Allah. لا يشار إليه بالأصابع. People don't look towards him. He's not an important figurehead in society. People don't point fingers that this is the person, this is a wealthy man, or this is a person who's very, very famous. The attention is not towards him. He's a nobody in society. But in the sight of Allah is everybody. وَكَانَ رِزْقُهُ فَكَفَافًا فَصَبْرَ عَلِهِ. The Prophet says, and the wealth that Allah gave him, the rosy sustenance, he breaks even. But he's happy. He's happy with Allah. He's happy. He's not chasing. He put all his investment in that salah. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter mentioned, ثُمَّ نَفَدَ. The Prophet clicked his finger there, indicating that he passes away. This man, he doesn't live too long. He passes away. قَلَّتْ بَوَاكِهِ قَلَّتْ تُرَاسُهُ قُجِّلَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ. He passes away very quickly. He does not enjoy a lengthy, long life. But what he earned in that short span of time, he got the greatest wealth, the wealth of salah. There were not a lot of people who knew him, so there weren't a lot of people who cried over his passing away. And he didn't leave a big bank balance, he didn't leave a lot of wealth in his estate. But the wealth that he took to the akhirat was the wealth of salah.
Allahu Akbar. So Nabi Alayhi Salaam is mentioning.
So many of you have understood that these are the most important aspects that will cause a person to bring that salah to the point that pleasing to Allah, acceptable to Allah. So we'll start off today, inshallah, just to go through the more important aspects with regard to istinja. Because before a person comes to the masjid, he has to relieve himself and purify himself so that he can stand before Allah. If he does not know how to relieve himself, then he'll be missed. He'll be in an impure state. And then he's going to stand before Allah. The wuzu also won't be acceptable, it won't be valid. He's standing before Allah because he's impure, there's napaki on his body, the urine drops also, he is not careful and cautious about. As a result, that there will be no salah that will be accepted from such a person. That's why it's very important for us just to go through it. Sometimes people feel, you know, these aspects, we all know about it. But how much of revision do we do on these masail? Sometimes we become rusty, sometimes we forget. So it's important for us to just to go through it. So the first thing with regard to istinja is that a person should make preparation before the salah well in advance. So it's not last minute preparation and then he ends up coming to the masjid late because he did not prepare in advance. A person should prepare in advance. He should take that salah very, very serious. Like a person has to catch a plane. A couple hours before he'll go, Awliya and Buzugan, the deen, were very, very careful with regard to this aspect. We should prepare in advance. Now, we want that salah to fetch that value. So the preparation of the salah should also conform to the sunnah. The second thing is, when a person goes to relieve himself, then the sunnah, you should cover your head and cover your feet. It's a dirty place, and Rasulullah taught us you should be wearing some sandals, cover your feet, and the head also should be covered, and then you should go into the toilet to relieve yourself. A person should take the name of Allah, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubusi wal-khaba'is. This is the sunnah. What's the benefit? When you take the name of Allah and you sought protection from the evil, jinn, male and female, now you enter the toilet, you won't be harmed. You won't be harmed. A person should ensure in the toilet, he relieves himself according to the sunnah also. The sunnah is that he should not face the qibla or face his back to the qibla. The least amount of time required in the toilet should be spent. Toilet is not a place that a person now will relax there. Sometimes people take out their phones, they see in the magazine, they're looking at this and that. So this is now all against the sunnah. The conduct does not conform to deen. Everything we do, when you go before Allah, Allah Pak wants to see that this is a replica of my Nabi. So I'll give him what my Nabi promised his ummah to receive, because they'll follow Rasulullah and Allah Pak will grant them that reward. If there's any ring that he's wearing that got the name of Allah, Rasulullah, ayat of the Quran, then he should remove it. Why? Because the toilet is a dirty place. The name of Allah is a thing of respect. We should do a lot of respect to the Quran, to the ahadith, the name of Allah, Rasulullah, we should remove it. Then a person should enter the toilet with the left foot and he should exit with the right foot. This is sunnah. After relieving oneself, the dua, غُفْرَانَكَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَآفَانِي. You should recite the dua. You first sing غُفْرَانَكَ, Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. That you allowed me to relieve myself. What a great favor and ni'mat to pass out urine and to relieve yourself. A person feels so well, enjoys good health. So he cannot fulfill the haqq of shukr, of gratitude to Allah for this ni'mat. So when you come out of the toilet, غُفْرَانَكَ, Allah, I ask you for forgiveness. I could not fulfill the haqq of this ni'mat you gave me. Alhamdulillah, adhaba anni al-aza wa afani. Allah, I thank you that you removed the dirt from my body and you kept me in afiyat, in good health. So now the deen of yours has more value. It got more meaning. You're not just going through the motions. You're just reading. You don't know what it means. So what is, you know, alhamdulillah, my Nabi taught us this. I'm thanking Allah. I'm remembering Allah. And I'm fulfilling the sunnah while relieving myself. Look, deen is so complete that if a person relieves himself according to the sunnah, he's getting so much of reward. On one occasion, one person told Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, hey, you people, your Nabi taught you everything, even how to go toilet. That person made a mockery. In other words, you people are so backwards that your Nabi had to come and teach you how to go toilet too. The Sahabi said, Naam, ajal. He said, yes, definitely. He says, because our deen is so rich, it's got so much of adab and etiquette, that in every aspect of our deen, there's so much to learn and there's so much of sunnah of Rasulullah. And then the Sahabi enumerated all the aspects in you. You relieve yourself, you don't face the qibla, you don't say your back to qibla, you don't use a bone to clean yourself. The bones are the food of jinnat. You can get hurt also. You don't use any impure thing to clean yourself. That person made a joke and a mockery. The Sahabi turned it around. Yes, no, our deen is so rich. We got so much to learn. And so much that came from Allah that we all these things have to be learned. You all don't have it. In other words, the Sahabi told you, you don't have all this. Then a person should cleanse himself with sand cloth and with water. This is to be done in the time of Rasulullah. In today's time, when we don't have it, a person can substitute it with maybe some toilet roll. He'll wipe and then he'll pour water thereafter. And if a person only pours water, that's also sufficient. He cleanses himself. Very important is when a person, as he's removing his lower garment, he should go close to the ground and then he should blow it. So the least amount of time is passed where a person's satr area is exposed. Of course, in today's time, most of people nowadays, they got the high pan toilet. So in the high pan toilet, a person can't understand this. A person sometimes has to remove his trousers or his pants. But the sunnah is to relieve yourself on the eastern toilet or on the ground. So that will be better. A person should always try to teach his children also, this is the way. But if some person got some difficulty, maybe he's ill or he's too weighty, difficult for him, then it is permissible, not impermissible. But he should ensure when he goes on the high pan, then the urine specials don't come on him and make him napak. He should be very, very careful, cautious of how he does it. If there's any impurity, he has to wash himself. Clean himself, wash himself, and thereafter he should make the wuzu after that. Then a person, wherever he goes to relieve himself, he must be in a concealed area from the gazes of people. Now, today's time, people go to a garage, shelter, or whatever, while traveling, they got all these urinals. Men are just standing there and they're urinating. When you look at such a thing, we understand how this is against modesty and shame, against respect. Our deen is so pure, so clean. In Allah, tayyib la yaqbulu illa tayyib. Allah is pure and Allah only accepts that what is pure. How many adab and etiquette only with regard to the toilet? Then when a person goes to relieve himself, he must not waste a lot of time there. Especially if it is a public toilet, people are waiting. Everybody got an equal right to use the toilet. Now you must not unnecessarily take extra time in the toilet. When you complete, you finish, you should clean the toilet. Sometimes a person traveling on the plane, he goes in a toilet and then he leaves it in a very, very untidy state. Messed up state. The next person who comes there, he looks at him, he says, this is what Muslims are taught. This is now Islam teaches these people like this. Allah Pak save us. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sayyid. Allahu Akbar. Imagine what a very great buzrug. When he came to the Roza Mubarak, Roza Aqdas of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give salam, people around, they heard it. He made assalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. The answer came from the grave. Wa alayka salam ya waladi. Oh my son, salam be upon you. He was from the family of Rasulullah. This buzruk was a personification of the sunnah of Rasulullah. He was traveling in India, Indian conditions, and the trains, we all know that what's the state. So Mawlana, he saw this Hindu woke up from the seat, a Hindu man. He went to the toilet and then he came back very quickly. Mawlana said, he came back. He said, the toilet's a mess. I can't go to the toilet. I have a need. But I'll just have to suppress it. The buzruk, he had so much of concern for creation. This man was a non-Muslim. But the sunnah of Rasulullah is to be a means of mercy and a means of comfort to the creation. Don't hurt anybody. Allah Pak, forgive us. Sometimes these sunnats are not in our life. So we cause taklif to people. So this buzruk, what happened? He went, he never tell the Hindu man anything. He went to the toilet and then he lifted his sleeves. He cleaned the whole toilet. He's a Sayyid from the family of Rasulullah. He cleaned the whole toilet. And then he came back and didn't tell the man, I cleaned it. He said, I went to the toilet. It's clean now. You can go. The person went, the toilet was clean. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Bhai Paja Rahmatullahi, there was one person from Cape Town. He was a gangster. And at that point, they were even thinking of overthrowing the government. He's giving his life incident, life account. He says, the thing that changed my life, it was about 12 o'clock in the night. I was with my friends. We were around the masjid area. I need to relieve myself. I went to the toilet. When there was no one there, I saw my Paja Rahmatullahi cleaning the toilet. Then Allah Pak gave him that acceptance and that qabulat. Now you see the whole of South Africa, a lot of parts of the world. Allah Pak made by Paja Rahmatullahi effort, that the effort of Dawud and Tabligh Deen reached so many corners of the globe. This was the sunnah in the man. So at least if we cannot benefit people, at least don't cause harm to someone. Keep the toilet clean. Ensure that the next person will come is in a better state than when you went to it. Then a person, when he comes out of the toilet with the right foot, you'll come out. then you should rinse your hands, clean your hands, use soap, so that now there's no bad odor that comes out from the hands. If a person is ill and he cannot go to the toilet, and he's forced, like example, in the hospital, then he can urinate in a bottle and dispose of the urine thereafter. When the Nabi of Allah was very, very ill and he could not move from the bed, then this is how Nabi Sallam also, of course, could complete parda and seclusion. The Nabi of Allah passed that water, and then the Sahaba had to go and dispose of it. Allah Pak made these things happen in the life of Rasulullah, so it will be a lesson for the Ummah and for Deen to be complete. Anyway, these are very important masail. It's mentioned in the hadith that the one who goes to relieve himself, and he's not particular about urine drops, as a result that urine comes on his clothing, he remains impure, the salah he performs also won't be accepted. He's moving around in an impure state, and in the qabr, a lot of azab will be given to people because of this, because of impurity, and because of napaki. Very, very important aspects we should keep in mind with regard to these things. Then now comes the time where we have to, after a person completed this, he has to make wuzu. Ulama say that when a person completes istinja, he shouldn't make wuzu immediately. He should wait a little while, so that if there's any urine drops, then at least the urine drops can exit, come out, then he cleans himself to ensure. The person, especially if a person has got a urine problem, then he should do this. But then if the problem, he doesn't have to wait too long. This is called istibra. For further cleanliness and purity, you wait for everything to come out, then you dispose of the tissue, and then after the person makes wuzu. When you make wuzu, it's preferable for him to sit than stand. However, if a person stands at the sink, it's also permissible, but it's better to sit. Facing the qibla is mustahab. Person will sit down facing the qibla, and he will make the intention in his heart, I am performing wuzu. It's an ibadat. It's a very, very great ibadat. He'll make the intention. And when he makes the intention, then verbally he'll say, Bismillah walhamdulillah. He must recite this. In the hadith, it is reported that the one who recites this dua, Bismillah walhamdulillah, as long as his wuzu is intact, Allah Pak causes the angels to continue writing good deeds for him. When the wuzu breaks, they'll stop. So this is when you recite the dua at the beginning of the wuzu, then this, you get this virtue, this reward, otherwise you won't get this reward. So it's important, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, that's all. And you get that reward, that all the good deeds are being written by the malaika, right till the time the wuzu will break, after hours and hours. You're not doing any ibadat, but the malaika writing reward for you. Remaining in the state of wuzu is sunnah, and it is a protection for a believer against the whispers of shaitan and evil influence. A person, he will experience this, and realize when you got wuzu, you feel a little motivated to make ibadat compared to when you don't have wuzu. And so this is now the shield of a believer. This is the ammunition of a believer against shaitan and nafs. So we should always sign, it's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always be in the state of wuzu. A person will commence the wuzu by making that niyat. Hadith mentions when the person makes a niyat and says Bismillah, he recites the name of Allah, then when he washes the limbs, it will be a purification not only for the limbs he washes, but for the entire body. As though the sins that he committed with his entire body, all the minor sins will be wiped out because he said Bismillah at the beginning of the wuzu. But if he didn't say Bismillah and he performed that wuzu, then it will only be a purification of sins of the limbs he is washing. For the entire body, it won't be a purification of sins, only for the limbs that he washes. So this is also important for us to keep in mind. A person will commence by washing the hands till the wrist. Thrice he'll wash it. After he washes the hands till the wrist, then a person will gargle the mouth and make miswak. Miswak is very, very important. A person should make miswak. The salah performed with miswak at the time when the wuzu was made is 70 times more better than the salah performed without the miswak. You know, a person, he made the wuzu, but he didn't cleanse his mouth. As a result, there's some foul odor coming out of the mouth. So he stands in salah. It is mentioned in certain ahadith, Allah Pak commands an angel. The angel, he comes close to the man and he brings his mouth near the mouth of the person. Now, you don't cause inconvenience to that angel. Whatever recitation of Quran you make, the recitation, it goes into the mouth of that angel, the stomach. And that is as though it is secured in the bank of the hereafter. He will, that angel will take it by Allah and they will be secured. So even if that mouth is smelly, then it's not going to be a good thing for that angel. Like how a person, when he gets married and he's coming close to his wife, he would appreciate if his wife is clean, the wife will appreciate if the husband is clean. When we stand before Allah, it's a very, very royal meeting with the beloved. It's a very royal meeting, Allahu Akbar. Allah Pak, give us that tawfiq, this iman. Imagine our Nabi is so pure. Nabi Sallam taught us each and every minutest thing. Then a person should make that miswak. When you make a miswak, then the teeth will make miswak and of the tongue also. So horizontally of the teeth and vertically of the tongue, and right at the back of the tongue, a person should clean the tongue. This is the place where generally the bad odor emanates from. So clean the tongue properly, and then he commences the salat later on. A person, after gargling the mouth and making the miswak, he'll insert water into the nose. With the right hand, he takes the water, he'll insert it, and he'll clean his nose with the left hand. Some ulama mentioned the baby finger of the left hand, but if a person needs to use the whole left hand, all the fingers, it's permissible, he can use it. Of course, for works of honor, use the right hand. For works that offer lower status, something of dirt, you have to use, you use the left hand. That's why you make istinja. When you make istinja in the toilet, you use the left hand, you don't use the right hand. It's not permissible to use the right hand. So you clean your nose with the left hand. So you gargle the mouth thrice, you clean the nose also, put water, insert water, and clean it thrice. Thereafter, a person will take water with both hands, and he will rub the face. From the hairline to the chin, from one earlobe to the other, the earlobe and the sideburn in between, that area has to be washed. If any part of the face is left dry, unwashed, the wuzu will be incomplete. If the wuzu is incomplete, then the salah will not gain acceptance. Then a person, if he's fasting, he should exercise caution. He should not now put water right inside his mouth or in the nose, because it's possible that the water can go down his throat, go up his nostrils, and his rosa will break. If it goes down the nasal passage, goes down the throat, the rosa will break. So if he's fasting, he will gargle the mouth and he clean the nose, but he will ensure that he doesn't exert himself in doing so. Then the following dua should be recited during the wuzu or after the wuzu. Some muhaddithin mentioned during the wuzu, and some mentioned you can recite it after wuzu. Both are permissible. Allahumma ghfirli dhanbi wa wasi'li fi dari wa barikli fi rizqi. It's a very, very comprehensive and complete, perfect dua. Oh Allah, forgive me for my sins, make my home spacious for me, and grant me blessings in my sustenance. Now, these are three things a person needs throughout his entire life. The first thing, you need Allah to forgive you. If Allah doesn't forgive you, then the relationship you're enjoying with Allah would not be a special relationship that will earn you barakah. So you need Allah to be happy. So that the load of sins you have, Allah must remove that. So Allah, forgive me. And then, oh Allah, grant me spaciousness in my home. Home would refer to this home of this life, home of the qabr also, home of the akhirat. You're asking Allah. And then, oh Allah, grant me blessings in my sustenance. All the time, every day, from dawn to dusk, the person leaves home, is worried about rozi. So the barakah of that rozi is in the wuzu. The barakah of that rozi is in the salah. Allahu Akbar. Then it is mentioned that after a person washes the face thrice to wash your face, when you put in water, you shouldn't splash the water. If someone next to you making wuzu, that water is flying. You take that water and gently put it on the face. Three times you'll wash his face. If a person doesn't have a beard, he won't have to make khilal. If a person got a beard, but the beard is very, very thin, then there's no khilal for this person. He has to ensure that the water goes in and touches the skin of the face, because the skin is visible. So if the skin is visible, the water has to, there's no khilal for such a person. Khilal is for that person, khilal of the beard, who has a dense beard. So a person will take the water after he wash the face thrice, and they take the water in hand and he'll go like this. Certain fuqaha muhaddithin mentioned you can also, with the wet hand, you go like this. So both ways, khilal is sunnah. One is with water, you take it and you put it under. Or a person, he takes his palm and he will pass the palm through his beard in such a manner that the inner portion of the palm is outward and the outer portion is towards his neck, and then he will make khilal of his beard. After washing the face, making khilal, a person will wash the hands. When you wash the hand, the sunnah will commence from the fingers, going all the way right till the elbows, including the elbows. You'll wash it thrice. To start off, some people, you see, they put in the hand under the tap like this, the water is going from the elbow going down. This is against the sunnah. The sunnah Allah Pak mentions is from the fingers till the elbows. So thrice you'll wash it like this. You'll wash it and then you'll rub it. Face also you'll rub it to ensure that the water touches the skin and it washes the entire limb. So three times you wash the right hand, three times the left hand. Thereafter a person will make khilal of the fingers. He'll make khilal of the fingers. The khilal of the fingers is after washing the hands. The khilal of the fingers is not after masa of the head. Many people find they make masa of the head and then they make the khilal. So this is not correct. How to make khilal? There's two ways. A person can just do like this. This is khilal. Or you can make khilal in this manner by putting the left hand on the right and the right hand on the left, and you can make khilal. First, then after make masa. Making masa, what's the sunnat way of masa? The sunnat way of masa is the person will take his wet hands. Either he takes new water or whatever water remains after washing the hands, both are permissible. Taking new water or whatever is the remaining water, and then he'll pass his hands from the beginning of the forehead, he'll pass it right to the back, and then he'll come forward. He won't lift his hand, he'll come forward right to the front again. From the front to the back, from the forehead to the back, and then he'll bring it again. This is one way, one sunnat method. Second sunnat method is he'll place it from the front and he'll move it to the back, and that's it. He won't have to bring it back. These are the two sunnat methods of making masa. In maktab, people they are taught the way that you must take three fingers and then you must go like this. And this method is not in sunnah. If some person made masa like this, or they're making, the masa will be valid. However, this does not conform to the sunnah. It doesn't come in the ahadith. Hence, the best is we should conform to what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had shown us. So the whole hand, you pass it from the front to the back. And that's all. Or you from the back, you bring it again. This is how the sunnat method of the masa should be done. Masa only once of the head. After making masa of the head, a person will make masa of the ears. Making masa, how you make masa like this? The sunnah tariqa is with the index finger will go inside and the thumbs on the outer side, and then you take the both baby fingers and he will put it inside the ear holes. He'll just place it. You don't have to poke it, just place it. This is how the fuqaha also, this is mustahab. Some little water also goes into the holes of the ears. Thereafter, a person will make masa of the nape. That was the back portion of the hand, make masa of the nape. Then after a person completes the masa, he will wash his feet. Again, how the hands you come in from the fingers till the elbows, the feet, from the toes to the ankles. Not from the ankle going down to the toes. You'll wash it in that manner. After a person washes both feet thrice, he'll make khilal of the toes by taking the baby finger of the left hand, starting from the right feet, the baby toe, moving all the way right till the left foot, the baby toe. This is how, in that sequence, he would move and he'll complete the khilal of the toes in this way. When the wuzu is complete, if a person made wuzu from any lota, any jug, and there's remaining water inside, then he should drink that water. This is also mustahab. He should stand and drink that water. And some hadith mention, a person can take a little of that water and sprinkle it on his clothing by his private area. That so that shaitan does not create waswasa and whispers about your paki and napaki, that maybe some urine drops came out and he will confuse you and will put you into doubts. So you can sprinkle a little water on your clothing and you'll drink that water standing. Then the dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taught us is that a person should recite the dua at the completion of the wuzu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Very beautiful dua. I testify that there is no deity besides Allah who is alone and has no partner, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. O Allah, include me from amongst those who repent excessively. O Allah, include me among those who repent excessively, and include me among those who are extremely clean and pure at all times. Now, when a person recites this dua after completing the wuzu, the 8 doors of Jannah are open for him. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, you haven't yet performed the salah. You only made the wuzu for the salah. Allah Pak commands the angels that the 8 doors of Jannah are open. If the man passes away immediately, inshallah, he'll go to Jannah. If he doesn't have any problems in his life, baggages and impediments on his path, and he's a person who is leading a pure life, if he passes away, the fact that the 8 doors of Jannah are open for him, it means that this man, he's preparing for that salah in the books of Allah, in the sight of Allah, he's a very special servant. Why? He's preparing to go to the court of the king. And it's mentioned in the hadith that when a person performs that salah, Allah Ta'ala blesses him, Allah Pak informs the angel that Jannah is for this servant. Imagine, when you made the wuzu, and you say the dua, 8 doors of Jannah open, when you perform that salah, then Jannat is his. Allah Pak declares that now this banda, I have kept the Jannat for him. These are some important masail. Is that when a person making wuzu, he should not speak of worldly affairs. Something of a masala someone asks you, you can explain. But worldly talk at that time destroys the reward. Wastage of water destroys the reward. Hafiz Tayyib, a very great buzru, he asked that Mufti Mahmud Sahib Ramud was blind. He came here to speak on beach. So he asked Hazrat Mufti Musa ibn Mutlali, Hazrat, if a person he wastes water during the wuzu, what happens? I said, yeto israf hai. This is a wastage. And the Quran Allah Pak mentioned, in al mubazzirin kam ikhwan shayatin. Those who waste, they are the brothers of shaitan. So this buzurg Hafiz Tayyib told Hazrat Mufti Musa, Hazrat, to ye to hum to hame maloom hai. We know that if you waste the water, you make it israf. That we know. Anything else? So Hazrat Mufti Musa said, yes. Apart from the sin of wastage, by wasting water in the wuzu, you're destroying the khushu of your salah. In other words, that namaz that you're going to perform, the devotion, concentration will be destroyed. In other words, that the barakah of that namaz, you're destroying it also. Imagine this in the wuzu. This in the wuzu. We'll stop here today. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. We'll speak about the adab of the masjid and the complete procedure of how the salah needs to be performed according to the sunnah in order for a person to reap the rewards that Allah Pak had promised, Rasulullah had promised, and in order for that salah to be a means of mercy for him in his life. This is one hadith, and we're going to end. It's mentioned that one sahabi, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, one day he saw this one person performing salah. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, he witnessed أَنَّهُ رَعَى رَجُلًا يُصَلِّ. He looked at this man was reading the salah, and he was going through the motions very, very quickly, the ruku, the sajda, going up and down. فَطَفَّفَ. The word of the hadith is فَطَفَّفَ. طَفَّفَ means, you know, when you're dealing in business, you give a person less. You say, well, you gave me less change over here. I bought so much, you're taking my money. So, طَفَّفَ is that, you know, you tell someone, you're short-changing me. So in that salah, this person now he had decreased the salah and did not fulfill the haqq of that salah. He decreased it big time. فَطَفَّفَ. So the sahabi told this person after he completed, he said that مُنْزُ كَمْ تُصَلِّي هَذِي salah. Tell me how many years you performing namaz in this manner. Decreasing the salah and neglecting so many aspects of that salah. Tell me how many years you performing salah in this manner. So the person told أَرْبَعِينَ عَامًا. For 40 years of reading namaz like this. Allahu Akbar. In some hadith of Bukhari, they mention لَا يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوَ وَالسُّجُودِ, that this man's ruku wasn't correct and his sajda wasn't being done right. He asked, how many years? You know, 40 years. Allahu, the sahabi told him مَا صَلَّيْتَ مُنْزُ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Take it from me. For 40 years you have not performed salah. 40 years. For 40 years you have not performed salah. And then he went forward to mention, وَلُوْ مُتَّ وَأَنْتَ تُصَلِّي هَذِي صَلَىٰ. If you have to pass away and meet Allah while reading namaz like this, Allahu Akbar, لَمُتَّ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ فِطْرَةِ مُحَمَّدِ صَلَىٰ وَسَلَمْ. You are passing away upon a path against the path of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. In other words, the main aspect of the whole deen is that namaz, you haven't got that namaz. You're going to meet Allah, you're not going to meet Allah as a person who followed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're going to be a person who followed another path besides the path of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How important it is that salah, we take it very, very serious. Inshallah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad. Salatan tujina biha min jami' al-ahwal al-afat, taqdiruna biha min jami' al-hajat, tutahhiruna biha min jami' al-sayyi'at, tarfa'una biha min jami' al-darajat, tubalighuna biha aqsa al-ghayat min jami' al-khayrat fil hayat ba'd al-mamat innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين. ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة يا لك رضا إلا قضيته ويسرته يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا تقبل منا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمة الله ورحمة الله.